Jesus' name we come to you. Oh, and Lord, we're singing the glad songs today, Lord God. They might be songs in the night, but thank you, God, we're singing. And Lord, we know that the joy cometh in the morning. And Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that it is payday someday. And Lord, we're grateful to God that we know we're dying daily. Hallelujah that we are, dear God. Thank you that we are becoming more weak in ourselves. And praise be to God, the strength is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you again for that, that we can be vessels to the praise and the glory of one thing, and that's your great grace. And Lord, thank you for the glory that it builds in us. All praise and thanksgiving to you. Now, Lord, there's many a needy life here, and God, each and every one of us have a great need, and that's more of you. Lord, more of your grace, more of your truth, more of that wonderful joy and peace in believing the word of God. Lord, fill us in the wonderful fullness of the Holy Ghost this morning. God, let the anointing be upon each and every life this morning. God, let us just rejoice and sing the praises of your love to us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You open up your Bibles with me today. We're going to Isaiah chapter 55. And we'll also go to John 4, and who else knows where we'll go except the Lord, but we're going to go all over the Word of God today, praise His name. But in Isaiah chapter 55, I will begin reading from verse 8, and it says, "Therefore my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." Listen to this. "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Oh, that's wonderful. Now let's go over to John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, reading from the 23rd verse. Praise God. "But the hour cometh, and now is." That should get your attention, huh? "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." So the time that is now, that's right now, the Father is seeking out. That means He's searching for true worshipers, sincere, encouraged, that worship Him. And He's speaking there specifically of His Son, in spirit and in truth. Now, in this day and age, most of Christianity believes and thinks that this is the time of the Great Commission. The time that when the Father will send out to all corners of the earth disciples to speak and to save all men. But the Scripture tells us very clearly, brothers and sisters, that the time of the Great Commission is not yet come. The time of the Great Commission, brothers and sisters, is when Christ Jesus will take the throne as God, and that is also known as the millennium. And we haven't even gotten to the tribulation yet. You will find these things out throughout the Word of God, but specifically, go back and read Matthew 28. Go back and research there in Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it's verse 8. And you will see very clearly that the time when they pick up the serpents that are poisonous and they have no power against them, the time, brothers and sisters, when the lamb will lay down with the lion, the time when they will baptize men in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, That is the time of the Great Commission, and that time has not come yet. Know these things and do not be confused, because the word of the Lord is very clear upon this. Now, back to our passage. It's crystal clear, isn't it, here in John 4:28, what the Father is after. Let me tell you something. The Father does, and His will is that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. We know this. But right here, we realize and hear that the main desire of what the Father is looking for is He is not looking in His main desire to save people. His main desire is He's looking for saved people. Can you hear that? Can you hear the word of the Lord? He's looking for saved people. He is searching for sons that will worship Him. A sinner cannot worship Him. Only a son. And He is searching for sons that will worship Him. And that precious worship, know this, it means to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss Him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, there's worshiping and falling down before Him. I understand those things. But this worship, the knowledge that is preached of in the New Testament over and over and over, when you see that word, to know Him, that is in the intimacy of a husband and wife. That's why this word worship here means the pinnacle of what worship could ever mean, to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss Him. Fervent love. And that is exactly what spirit and truth worship is. Spirit and truth worship. It's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, shedding the message of the proposal to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom abroad in your heart. Did you hear that? Shedding that proposal abroad in your heart. Yes, you'll have love for all men. Yes, you will be a loving saint. Yes, you will love, in a sense, beyond what love capacity of man can love. But this love that He's talking about of the Holy Ghost shedding the love of God abroad in your heart is the spirit and truth message, the truth, the proposal that Christ Jesus will have a bride. The depths of the gospel of Christ, the things that were hidden from the prophets that now is made known to us. The things that they wanted to look into. But God shut it up on Daniel and said, honey, it's not for you. But praise be to God, now that the veil is rent in twain, and the Comforter, He's been with you, and He shall be in you. There's many things I have to say unto you, Jesus Christ told His disciples. But I can't. You can't understand them. You can't bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you. He will lead you. If you want it, He will take you all the way into all truth. The Spirit shedding the message of Christ Jesus wants you to be His wonderful wife abroad in your heart. Let me tell you something. That's strong meat. That's the whole counsel of God. That's the very purpose of God, as He's saying, the true worshiper, the sincere one that draws nigh unto me to kiss me. Huh? Think of how He said that so sweetly at that dinner as He sat there. And there was Martha running back and forth serving. Wonderful. Thank God. But then she got critical. And there was little Mary at His feet. Oh, can't you do something else? Won't you help? And Jesus said specifically, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She has chosen the better place. It's the best part. The lover's part. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You get truth and love. You get this love message and strong meat. You've just entered a table set for two. The most romantic dinner you could ever have with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what He's after. Now, how in the world did that brother start in Isaiah 55 and get over here to John 4? Well, I'll tell you what, we've got an omnipresent Lord. And you know what's so incredible about that promise in Isaiah 55, and I'm talking about specifically there in the 11th verse. It says, "My word shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Hallelujah! He sent this to me. He sent this to you. This is a promise of God. Isn't it incredible? Isn't it wonderful that he will accomplish this? It's not going to return void. Let me tell you something. God does not waste his time. He is not a time waster. God's time is filled up with the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it is. It's effectual, praise God. And it will never return void unto him. I want you to think of just a few of these Old Testament ones that prove this. This was a rejoicing in Isaiah of the things that God had shown in his faithfulness, of these things that man called impossible. But as we've been singing today and rejoicing in, nothing's hard for God. All things are possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But you think about these ones that he proved this in, the ones that believed his word. Every promise that God told them, he fulfilled it. Sarah's womb was dead, but Abraham believed. Amen? And out sprung the promise. Never forget this. To be resurrected, you gotta be dead first. Huh? Man, if you'll take that all throughout your life, it's wonderful. You gotta be out of strength, and then God, my goodness. Okay, honey. Watch me. Stand back and see the mighty hand of God. You in kind of a dead place right now? Sure you are. God's appointed you to many of those places. Dead wombs all over the place. Here comes the promise. Believe him. It's wonderful. Oh, God help us. I'll tell you, you shouldn't be sitting in the pews. Now, how about Joseph? You think there. His brother scoffed at him, wanted to kill him. His dad even discouraged him. But Joseph believed the dreams that God gave him. Yes, he did. He believed God. How about Noah? Huh? God told him a flood is coming. And it hadn't rained for 100 years. And more importantly, he was in the middle of a desert. And God said, build the ark. And he built that ark. And people thought he was nuts. And they ridiculed him and cursed him and all of these different things. You could imagine what was going on as all of those years he built that ark. And he believed God, and praise the Lord, he was saved. You know what the moral of that story is? The word accomplished, and it profited each one of those that believed God. Amen. Amen. And the prophet, never forget this, brothers and sisters, the prophet always came through great suffering. They hit the jackpot of faith that was offered, but it was only hit, praise God, in a sense, in its evidence until after the enduring heartache. In due time, as the word of God says, I will exalt you. It wasn't immediately, often after many years, but payday was coming someday. Amen? Amen, brothers and sisters. We know these things. But now to us. Oh, and I love that. I love reading about my brothers and sisters, but I'm telling you what, I love that God is concerned about me. Little old me. See, we need to be selfish with his thoughts to us. Amen? Praise God. Mentioned it earlier, 2 Peter 1:4. I give you these scriptures, brothers and sisters. We're moving right along. But you know what? Look these up. Search these things out. Rejoice in them. Let him write these things across your heart. But in 2 Peter 1:4, it says that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. Come on now. In Hebrews 11:40, it tells us that we have a better thing. This same word will accomplish it just like it did for them. It will prosper in us, praise be to God, just like it did in them, because the word of God is true. His promises are yea and amen. It is impossible for God to lie, and praise be to God, if he be for us, who could be against us? Now, listen to what he's promised us, brothers and sisters. Let's go over to Romans 8, and let's read from verse 16. This is yours. Rejoice in this. In faith, brothers and sisters. And again, we live in a more exceeding great and precious promised time. Think of yourself as Abraham sitting there at this time, and God had promised you with his word, you're going to have a son. You're going to be the father of many nations. Joseph, as he sat there in Egypt, and he had those dreams, and he knew that God was going to exalt him, but everything looked against it. How could I be in this God-forsaken land? How could I be in the heart, really, of Babylon? And yet God is going to raise up a mighty man of God. Yep, you watch me, son. It hasn't rained for all those years. I'm in a desert. You want me to build an ark, and you're going to save me in this thing? Okay, God, let's do it. Now get there in faith. But you've got an exceeding great and precious promise. And here it is. The Spirit itself, in Romans 8:16, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not someday, not will be, we are. Praise God, we're born of God. And if children, then heirs. Yes, we are. We are heirs of God. And here we go. And joint heirs. Yes, as and you get into this, read this in other portions of Scripture. In Greek, we got a special word for this, synkleronomous, which means joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. But joint heirs, husband and wife with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Yes, hallelujah. That's your exceeding great and precious promise, brothers and sisters. This is incredible. Go on over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Spirit through Paul encourages him to say it like this. And we'll begin reading this in the 6th verse. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Brothers and sisters, do you know that the time of our departure is at hand? Do you know Jesus is coming? I mean, he could come today. He could come right now. He said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draw nigh. Do you see these things coming to pass? I do. Not that I'm just trying to see them. I just want to look to the Word of God. But the Word of God said, when you see these things, yeah, you know, check. Well, you know what? Where are you, Lord? Amen. We're at a place where I'm telling you, just like Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. It's as assured, I'm telling you, by faith of that moment, he's saying that. Jesus is coming at any moment. And we know these things. And Brother Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Isn't that wonderful? All those three beautiful things, I have fought by grace. I have finished by grace. I have kept by grace. And it's all what? Faith. Faith. Why? Because that's the only thing that's pleasing to God. Isn't that something? Brother Paul, the only thing he kept, finished, fought for was pleasing to God. Faith does not please man. It doesn't. Matter of fact, faith insults man. The name of Jesus horrifies man. Know these things. This is where we're at. Now look what he's saying here. By grace, all of this faith has been built in my life. And he says in the 8th verse, henceforth there is a crown. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. Now, Paul has been preaching this precious gospel for 30-some years. He has told us, I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. There is nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. I am now an heir of God. He was reaching and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. This brother knew that he was royalty. He knew, as he wrote in Galatians 4:1, I am a little Lord of all. Hallelujah. But what he is writing here, now because of all of that grace that performed all of that power to believe the word of God, to fight, to keep, and to finish, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. It's wedding ring time, brothers and sisters. That crown of righteousness means an exalted rank. An exalted rank of righteousness. Yes, read through the word of God. Every man in his own order. One star differeth from another in glory. Oh, yes. Throughout Revelation, those companies in heaven. What is the innumerable multitude? What do they do? They're singing salvation unto our God. Wonderful. But I sang salvation unto my God a long time back. I'm moving on to joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm moving on. I want to be glorified together with you, Lord. Not in a sense for me, but because it's pleasing to you. That's faith. That's the faith of believing in a dead womb is going to bring forth that son of promise. That's the believing, brothers and sisters. I'm Noah in a desert and it hadn't rained for 100 years and God's going to lift me out. That's what this kind of believing is. But it's an exceeding great and precious promise. It is a better thing. It is the most pleasing thing to God. And listen to the end of verse 8 here. Yes, there is a crown laid up for me of righteousness, this exalted crown that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But here is the most precious thing to my heart. And he said, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. See all of that precious grace that kept that faith for Paul, that finished that course for Paul, that fought that good fight for Paul. This is what it developed. It developed, Lord, I love your appearing. And Paul said, you know what? It's not to me only, brother. It's to you. Oh, it's to all them also. I understand that. But it's mine. This is mine. Jesus is mine. This is my message. Hallelujah. This is my proposal. Praise be to God. This is what he has given to me. Oh, I know it. Now, let me tell you something. It ain't hard for God to do it. It's not. Oh, it's not. See, he tells us that his word is all powerful. Yes, it is. But see, just like in those precious brothers and sisters we talked about, whether it was Abraham or Noah or David or any of them, the only way it works effectually, the only way it works powerfully, the only way that dynamite, exceeding abundant power is unleashed is in them that believe. It's the truth. Noah never would have been lifted out if he did not believe God and build the ark. Even though it was all there, even though it was coming, even though everything was written, if Noah did not take the grace of God to receive the faith to build the ark, it would have been over. But God. Did Noah see the rain coming? No, he didn't see it. Didn't even feel it. It was dry. It was desert. There was nothing there to give evidence in eyes to see any of this to come to pass. Nothing. And God set him in a place where it would even encourage the nothingness. In a desert. He didn't set him in a tropical environment and said, well, you know, son, it's probably going to rain and, you know, it's going to fill it all up. And my goodness, you got all this rain coming anyways. Yeah, I could believe God in that. No, it hadn't rained for 100 years. And he's in a desert. What has God done for us? He's put us in the time of the most wicked of man, where man's wickedness is waxing worse and worse, where they mock the name. ashamed of the name, that there is a form of godliness that is rampant right now, but denies the power thereof. They deny Christ. They deny that he is divine. They deny that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is come in the flesh. Oh, they call him a great prophet. They call him a teacher. They call him lots of things. But they don't call him my Lord and Savior. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Huh? Are we not in that same place as with these precious brethren? That my eyes could not see these things? My feelings couldn't feel these things? Because God divinely appointed it that very same way. It's going to be by faith. Huh? Oh, yes. This is what this is. Faith, 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 faith. Brother Hill said it so many times. He pointed that switch on the wall right over there. He said the power plant has fully supplied all the electricity of this place. This place is all wired. But unless you go flip that switch, there's never going to be any power of light in this place. How much more so in us, brothers and sisters, to believe God and flip the switch. Faith like a child in what God says. Did you hear that? Faith like a child in what God says. Not what man says. Not what my church says, brothers and sisters. Not what I was brought up says. No, what God says. And you know what God says in how you follow him? Read 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. Period. Huh? I don't want to wrestle with that. Why waste my time? Why have a hip out of joint? Huh? Hard to run well with that. Now, sometimes I understand even when we're following Paul's gospel, we fret, don't we? You know what we fret about sometimes even in our love to the Lord? We fret about our growth. We get discouraged sometimes about our yielding to God. And I know this. But it's God that gives the increase. It's God that gives the increase. He only asks that we trust him. He only asks that we be willing. And then we wait. We wait on him. And if we really want to grow, we're going to rest in that. And as he told us, the lily does not toil. The lily does not labor to grow. And yet Solomon in all his wealth and in all his glory, in all of those riches, was not clothed like unto that sweet lily. He will perform it, won't he? Yep, he will. He will. Do you hear that? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's marvelous. He's marvelous. The word goeth forth from him and he will accomplish it. The word goeth forth from him and he will accomplish it. Not you, not me, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The word will accomplish it to his good pleasure. It shall prosper in the thing. And I'm so thankful to God, I'm a thing. I'm a precious thing. I'm a most valuable thing. And praise be to God, he sent it to me. He sent it to you. Now, I'll tell you what. It's a windfall, brothers and sisters. It just is. It's a windfall. It's awaiting us. Just let him do it. Believe in him. In him. He, the Word, works effectually. Did you hear that? See, we often, yes, the Word works effectually in them. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Who's in you? Jesus Christ. Who lives in you? Christ lives in you. He, the Word, works effectually. It ain't on a page. He, the Word, liveth in you. Oh, see it. He, the Word, worketh effectually in them that believe and will change you into his image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit willing? Oh, yes, he is. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you again for glory upon glory upon glory. All because of he that is full of truth, grace, and truth. We thank you, Lord God, again for this wonderful, wonderful proposal that you're giving to your people. Lord, help us to know that you live in us. Help us to be encouraged, Lord God, that it's that life that is all powerful, that is all believing, that is all joyous, that is all patient and all long-suffering. Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And thank you, God, again, that you gave your sweet, precious Son, Jesus. You gave him to us who did not deserve anything but death. Thank you, you loved us when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great grace, in his great love, wherewith we are loved, and you saved us, Lord God, with the blood of your Son. We thank you for that wonderful, 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 wonderful invitation into sonship. But Lord, we're so grateful, oh my, for his ascension and all the infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost. God, help us to go on. Help us to withstand and to stand and again to stand, Lord Jesus, and go all the way. Help us not to stay at the half house, Lord God, but help us to go all the way. Just about home. And oh, what a sight to see him leaping over that last hill. Oh, he's coming for me. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.